Keith had actually asked me what I was speaking on, and I said, God with us, God in us. So he basically opened up with a scripture that had talked about that, which I will just review real quickly. But, you know, like I said before, the Trinity, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were not shocked or surprised when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, right, and kind of messed up. And I believe that they already had a plan in place because the all-knowing God. And so it was agreed by the three of them, okay, Jesus, you're going to go down to earth, and we're going to do the most ridiculous thing ever. We're going to become one of them. We're going to become human. So Jesus came to earth. And then Holy Spirit says, yeah, and when you've done your job, then I'm going to go down and continue to walk with them so they can walk and be like you. So they had this plan in place. So I don't think that it was a mistake. I don't think that creating Adam and all that was a mistake. I think God knew exactly what he was doing. People might have said that the Trinity made a huge mistake. And I mean, why couldn't they have just waited a couple more days, right? Mary and Joseph wasn't married yet. So it caused kind of a big scandal. I mean, how many of your parents, if you had a 16-year-old daughter and she came up to you and says, Mom, I'm pregnant and God did it, how many of you would believe her? Right? So anyway, it kind of freaked Joseph out, obviously. Plus, the baby was going to be due in the busiest time of year where they had to travel. So people would say, man, what is the timing here? Right? But God knew what he was doing. And we knew that, as was read in Matthew 1:20-23, and this is how the birth of Jesus took place. His mother was engaged to Joseph. And before they could enjoy their wedding day, Joseph discovered she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. So why, he was a very nice guy, so while he was trying to ponder and figure out how to get rid of Mary and not disgrace her in public, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and assured him that Mary was pregnant, but it was by God's design, and she was a virgin. Gave him instructions on what to do. And when Joseph came out of that dream, he followed him to the T. So even back here, we're learning that when we have an encounter with God, the angel of the Lord, when we have an encounter with God, it helps us in our lives, decisions. It helps alleviate all fear and mistrust and doubt that we might have and lets us know our purpose, right? So encountering God is important. How many of you would believe that? Amen? Because really, I don't know that Joseph would have followed through with this, obviously. He was there pondering how he was going to get rid of her without making her look too bad. And I think he probably would have came up with a plan had the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord, not interrupted, right? So divine counters bring truth. And in John 1:14, so the word of God, it became human. It became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father, the one and only Son. Amen. That was Jesus. He came and he done a lot for us. So I'm just going to kind of sum up. Obviously, I could be here forever. I could teach a series on really what all that meant and what this one act of Jesus coming to earth did for mankind. But I'm going to narrow it down for sake of time. First of all, it allows us to see God as a loving God, and it allows us to see the true goodness of God. Because we know in John 14, it says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then in John 5, it says Jesus went around doing only what he heard and said his Father doing, right? So, he even says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, I think it allows us to see, when we see Jesus, we can say that's what Father God is doing in this situation. And it changed the paradigm of what people believed God is a hard taskmaster to God is a loving, caring, want to be intimately involved with us kind of God. Second of all, it marked a new era, right? A new change, a shift from grace and through Christ's death, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It put an end to that hard, laborious world of the law and works and trying to get it right. Must have been exhausting. Must have been exhausting. The actual gospel became actual good news that we talk about today. I don't know if before Christ I could actually call it good news. I would call it as, whew, it's going to be lots of work. Right? Because you had to work out your, you had to work to stay pure. You had to, and if you screwed up, you had to take, get a sacrifice. You had to go to the priest. There was just all this rules and regulations that actually were in place to show man that they couldn't do it on their own and that they needed a savior. And that's why he came. Number three, it enables us to have a direct face-to-face relationship with God. It says that we could come boldly before his throne room and make our requests known. It says in Chronicles, I think it's the third chapter, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So the reality, that is reality. Not really what we see is always reality, the highest form of reality, right? Luke 23:45, the veil of the temple was torn wide open. This is most profound. Every definition of separation and distance represented in that impenetrable veil was removed. A new day had dawned for humanity, and deity was now entwined in seamless oneness with us. Spirit dimension is not some foreign, distant location, somewhere in outer space, but it is our reality now. Now separation from God is an illusion. It's not truth. Oneness does not come in just various degrees. Only the awareness of that continuous union is unfolding. Right? I believe we're in a new era now where we're starting to even realize that in a deeper way, our oneness and our union with God. So, I mean, when that veil was torn, separation was gone. That was reality. But varying degrees of how we recognize it, going from glory to glory, that is what this life is all about. And John 17:23 says, it is not just what we have been redeemed from, but what we've been redeemed into. That's the most exciting thing. We are redeemed into discovering the most amazing life intertwined with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and one another. That's reality. This is where we live. It's where that oneness, that invitation to become one with him and him with us. Remember, that was Jesus' prayer. My prayer is, Father God, that they will be one as we are one. Right? And we walk into that. The fourth thing was that it allowed the Holy Spirit, which is the Godhead. He's not a lesser. He's part of the Godhead, right? His power, his wisdom, the very wisdom and power of God, of Jesus, can dwell in us. This is where Emmanuel, God with us, went from God with us to something even better, God in us. When the Holy Spirit hit the atmosphere, right? And it's fanfare, man. He came with cloven tongues of fire in their head, you know? This is why when people say, well, we don't need this experience. We don't need all this. We have the Bible. And why I love the Word of God, I believe they're wrong. Because we do need an experience. Because you think about it. Why did angels appear in the sky singing and glorifying God and this big hoopla, if Jesus didn't want to give him an experience, he could have just thrown down the scroll of Isaiah and said, read it, dude, this is what's happening now. Right? He done something kind of fanfare-ish and cool and awesome and made him like, you know, that's why the angels had to say, fear not. I know you're freaked out, but, you know, fear not, because I'm going to bring you good news. Everything has changed today. This is the beginning, but everything is changing as of today. And even how he appeared to Joseph. And when Jesus walked this earth, it said everybody he encountered, really, he changed their life. They knew that they were in presence of no ordinary man, right? They had an encounter. From the woman with the issue of blood to the blind man. Yeah, there was some fanfare like, go, I'm going to spit in some mud. I'm going to put it in your eyes. You got to go wash it off. He was into experiences and something that was going to change their life, right? So that God of experience is still alive. He's still wanting to give us experiences. He's still wanting to give us encounters, I think, on a daily basis. So having those encounters and the Holy Spirit coming along beside and dwelling inside of us and giving us the very power of God living inside of us so that we could actually be like Jesus. You know, I think this Greek theologian, Athanasius, maybe was his name. I don't know. He kind of goes a little further, but he explains it, which I believe in it. But when you first hear the statement, it's kind of shocking. But, you know, basically, Jesus became man so man can become like Jesus. Right? Is that not true? I mean, Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you the Comforter, and the Holy Spirit's going to dwell inside of you, and he's going to enable you to do everything that I did and even more. Because there's going to be more just of us just in this dunamis, awesome power and knowledge of who God is and who we are in God. You know, in Romans, it says that all of mankind are included in this. And it says that the whole earth is groaning and waiting for the sons of man, for the sons of God, to be revealed. What is that? I think as us is stepping into the destiny to walk in everything that Jesus died to give us. Amen? And a lot of that is an intimate relationship that's not just found in the pages of a book. I've said this once before, but when I wanted to get done, to know God better, I didn't go and find a book and read about him. Of course, there wasn't a book on him, but I wouldn't have read it anyway, probably. But anyway, I wanted to get to know him by spending time with him, face to face, knowing his opinions, his thoughts, his feelings, right? And that's how Jesus is with us. That's how God is. We get to know him. Yes, I am not minimizing the Word of God. It's very powerful. But nothing can change us sometimes like an encounter. Like we know we've touched God. Amen? And we've all had times in our life where we know that's happened. I think for a long time the church, especially in the Western church here, we've kind of minimized the relationship part of it. We almost assume that people that need a relationship or an experience or an encounter, they're a little bit weaker because they just can't take the word for what it is and go on. When God wants us to encounter him, he wants us to experience him. So, I believe that we are supposed to be like Jesus. And I believe it is not a hard task when we have relationship with him. Because the Holy Spirit says reminds us of what he would do in every given situation and allows us to almost see that. I don't believe it's a hard thing. I believe it's just simply falling in love falling in love with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, realizing their activity in our life and wanting to have those times in our life. You know, when I was here standing up teaching last time I taught about an encounter I have. I have these times where I make time to actually quiet myself and meditate before the Father. And I'm getting better at it because I'm one of those where my mind can go 40 different places at once. I mean, really. And I'm getting better. It's learning and training our mind to wait before God and just meditate on His goodness and say, okay, Jesus, where are you in this room? Do you want me to come to you? You're going to come to me? What do you have for me? And in that encounter, I had told you about how I'd had a really hurtful week with some of the family members and my mom and all this. And the thing of it is, at that point, I didn't even think about going to the Father, my loving Father, for it. I did not even think about talking to Jesus about it because I was just like, oh, that's just the way it is. People hurt people and they're hurting and it's what it is. And just buck up, Tammy, you'll be fine. You know what I mean? Just kind of almost going on. But then I had this encounter where I was with Jesus and He was sitting in front of me on the ground and He opened up my chest and he was taking out these thorns and He was saying, I know they hurt, but I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal it. And He goes, you don't need to die of a broken heart. I already did that for you. And then He just started ministering to me His love, healing up my heart. And then, of course, He poured this oil over my head. And He goes, now this oil is going to not take away the memories, but it's going to take the pain away. When I came out of that counter, those situations that I had experienced earlier did not hurt me, did not carry the weight that they once had. And I think that God wants to meet with us and give us encounters and experiences so that we can know about His love, but about who we are to Him as well. Any encounter I've ever had in what I call the heavenlies, I don't know. I just, it's so much love. There's so much love. And even when He asks me a question because He wants me to think about why I'm doing something or what I'm doing, it's never out of condemnation. It's just always out of love. Because He just wants what's best for me. So before I close here, it's been a few years ago now. We were going through a really hard time with one of our kids. Actually, he was messed up in drugs and he was out on the street. And, you know, you worry. And it was just heaviness. And Donna and I both couldn't leave the house at the same time because him and his friends would come in and steal from us. And so it was just a very trying time. And we were scheduled to go to this conference. And I knew we both couldn't go. So I told Don, I go, Don, I want you to go. I'm going to stay home. I want you to go. So the first day he was out at the conference, basically I just laid on my bed and I was crying out to God. And I just had this experience where Jesus was just loving on me. And He's telling me it's going to be okay. And it was so sweet and so divine. And then that evening I get a call from Don. And Don says, it's amazing. I go, what happened? It's just amazing. And then he starts crying. He goes, I can't even tell you. I'm like, don't call me and then tell me you can't tell me, you know? What the heck? What's that all about? And so I'm going to let him tell that story. But I just want you to know it's like it was the worst and the best of times. Because sometimes when we're going through the hardest crisis, it's when God steps in and He becomes more real to us. And He gives us these divine encounters that just take us to a place where we couldn't have went without it. And that's what it means when it says He will turn everything for good. I will not take that time back. Because even though it was painful and it was hard and it was like, oh, it was also because God made himself so real to us during that time. So Don, when I come up, I just think it helps. Doesn't it help to hear people's stories a little bit and how God has ministered to them in hard, difficult times? So.
Well, when Tammy asked me to do this, I wasn't really excited about it because I haven't really told too many people about this. And so, but I thought, well, if it's what the Holy Spirit told her, that's fine. And I asked Jesus about this. I says, why do you want me to tell this? Why do you want me? He says, because I want other people to know that this, that they can all have these experiences. And okay, that's fine. So, as Tammy said, you know, we were going through a rough time, and I had been praying one night, and you know how you pray when you're desperate and things aren't going well, and it just clears the bell. God spoke to me, and he said, quit praying about this and seek me. And I knew exactly what he meant when he said that, and that's what I did. And it was like a changing point for me. And so when I went to this conference, you know, I was hoping to receive something, but it was, may have been actually the first night of the, or the first session of this conference. It was a man by the name of Ian Clayton. And anyway, they started the worship, and they just started. They had the lights down low. And so I'm just like engaged in this thing, you know, and I'm just probably the first song of the conference. And I've just both hands up like this, and I'm in it, and it's dark. They got the music playing up, you know, the. And just out of nowhere, Jesus just comes towards me. And I'm seeing everybody there. I'm seeing the band up the worship leaders. And here he comes. And it's like looking through a veil. It's not crystal clear, but I can see him. He's walking right through the people. He comes up to me, and literally, you know how a veil is, and it's not, you're looking through, and it's not real clear, but if you get right up to it, put something right against it, you almost kind of almost can't see it anymore. He comes up to this, and it just literally, see the scars in his hands. That's how close we were, and he puts his hands right on mine like this. And about that time, of all things, Ian gets up, and he stops the whole thing, and I'm like, oh, please. You know, when this distraction comes and it just blows everything for you, I'm like, please don't let this stop. And Jesus literally, he comes around, come up here. He comes around beside me, and he does this. And he just stands here like this with his hand on my shoulder, listening to Ian, just blithely listening to Ian talk. And when he was talking about people engaging, he said, this is not a spectator thing here. You need to be engaging in what God's doing, engaging in this. And I'm like, you know, I'm just like, please let this continue. And so when he quit talking, went down, and they started the music again, Jesus, he comes around in front of me, and he takes me, and we go through the veil. And at this point, I'm no longer aware of anything else that's there. I don't see anything else that's there, and what I'm seeing is crystal clear. And we're in this room, and there's this tall kind of a pillar thing, I guess you'd call it a white pillar. And Jesus, we go into this room, he goes around behind that, and instantly he just rises up on it, and he's in wearing different clothes. He's like dressed like a king at that point, and we're worshiping, and I suppose it was the same song they were playing. We were all worshiping him, and he just looks right at me and makes eye contact with me. And then as he's looking at me, he just kind of goes like this, you know, kind of like nods, you know, kind of for me to look over. And I look over, and there's my son worshiping him. And it was like, I knew at that point we were looking into the future, that this was my son, and the things he was going through, we were going to get through that, and he was going to be serving, and he was going to be worshiping God like I was. And it's like, when you have an encounter like this, it changes you. I mean, you're not ever the same. And I've had numerous encounters. I can't say I've had one that was like that, another one that was exactly like that. I've had a lot of encounters, but I'm telling you, it's this is for everyone. When I was talking to him this morning about this is not for me. We sang this song. I don't know which song it is. It says something about I didn't earn it, and I didn't deserve it. And we didn't earn it. It's what Jesus did, and we're all welcome to come to that place.
Yeah, isn't that an amazing story? And, I mean, while I was having some encounters, I mean, that was, like, very, very intense, obviously, right? I mean, like, he couldn't even tell me the whole story for 2 or 3 days because he would cry through it, and then I couldn't hear the rest of it. And so it was life-changing. And so much so that when he came back home, if something would happen or we'd get a call from the cops, or, you know, all that kind of stuff's alarming. They knew us by name and knew everything, you know, because it was just a rough time. He was just so at peace, and I'd almost get upset because I'm like, this is a big deal. You know what I mean? And he goes, God's got this. He's going to come through it. We're going to come through it. It's going to be okay. And I think that's what is so important, is God wants to give us encounters. Things that really are disturbing and frustrating for us. God wants to bring us to a place of such an encounter with his peace and his love that we truly understand those scriptures that say, you know, perfect peace I give you. And it's not based on your understanding. It's based on an encounter with the person of a God of love personally. So this month, the whole thing was on gifts. And I wanted to tell you that what Jesus done for us, Emmanuel with us, Emmanuel in us, it's definitely a gift. It's a gift that we have an invitation to come boldly before his throne. That we can see him, that we can have encounters with him that will change our lives. That will mend us instantly through the power of the presence of his love. I believe that the veil between heaven and earth is growing thinner and thinner. I believe that we are in a new era here where we're going to be walking in the power of God like never before. Isn't that what Isaiah says in 61? It says, you know, arise, shine, for your light has come, for a gross darkness will cover the earth. But the light of Christ within you will go brighter and brighter. It even says that it'll be so intense that our lifestyle and the way we do life will be so intensely different that kings and leaders will come to us to ask us, how do you do it? That's what Isaiah says, Isaiah 61. And I believe that's what God is wanting us to walk into. So, I really don't know how to end this. Let's sing Reckless Love again. And when we do this, can you just do me a favor and just close your eyes and just say, okay, Father God, what is it that you want to show me today? What is it that you want me to encounter today?